For all the twists and turns in the remarkable Bilam's saga as he tries to curse the Jewish people, there's an obvious and profound question that must be dealt with. The whole premise of Balak coming to Bilam was that Bilam was already a prophet of renown, someone who was known to have divine, perhaps magical abilities to do incredible things, to foretell the future, to curse, as the case may be. But why, asks Rashi, paraphrasing the Medrash and the Tanhuma, why did Hashem allow this to begin with? Why would Hashem endow such an evil, wicked person with the power of prophecy to begin with? The whole story should never have gotten off the ground because there never should have been such a prophet like Bilam. Why would Hashem allow his presence, his spirit, his soul, his essence to rest on such an evil person? Why would he make such a person like Bilam into a Navi? And Rashi explains that the reason is, so that the non-Jews should not be able to have an excuse. This was a preemptive strike, as it were, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in anticipation of an excuse that the non-Jews would have at some point in the future. How can you compare us unfavorably to the Jewish people? How can you punish us in contrast to the way you bless the Jewish people, just because they accepted the Torah? But they had a Moshe Rabbeinu. If we had had a leader like that, if we had had a prophet like that, we also would have accepted the Torah. So says Hashem, I did. I gave you a great prophet like Bilam. The Jewish people had their chance through Moshe. They made the most of their chance. You had a chance with Bilam, but you and Bilam chose a wicked path. In a similar vein, the other Midrashim make a same comment, but even go one step further in their commentary to the Pasuk at the end of the Torah in Parshas Zos HaBracha, where the Torah tests, Lo kam navi od bi Yisrael kemoshe. There was never was and never will be another prophet as great as Moshe. But Chazal note that the Pasuk actually says, Lo kam navi od bi Yisrael. In the Jewish people, there never will be another prophet. Aval b'umos ha'olam kam. But there was, once upon a time, a prophet in the non-Jewish world who was as great as Moshe, so it seems, and that was Bilam. Once they've made that incredible statement, going even further than Rashi did in our Parsha, maybe Rashi's implicit in our Parsha, but this Medrash goes even further than the Tanhuma that Rashi was quoting, then of course the Medrash asks, well, why did Hashem do this? Why would Hashem allow such a wicked person to be as great as Moshe? And again, the Medrash gives the same answer so that the non-Jews would not have an excuse. They had their chance, they had their great prophet in Bilam. A question that needs to be asked perhaps on all of this, on Rashi and our Parsha, on these other Medrashim, is the question that the Ksav Sofer asks. And this is the Ksav Sofer, the son and successor of the famed Chasam Sofer. And he asks, really? Eich yale al hadas? Hayitachein? Could Chazal really mean, by implication in our Parsha, explicitly in other sources, that Bilam was really as great as Moshe? Perhaps he was a prophet. That certainly is the simple reading of the Psukim in our Parsha and other places in Tanakh, but especially in our Parsha, it certainly seems that way. Okay, a prophet. That's mysterious and surprising enough. But still, to say he was as great as Moshe? How is it even conceivable to consider that? The Ksav Sofer assumes that that's ridiculous. It cannot be, says the Ksav Sofer, that that's what Chazal have in mind. So what do they have in mind? So he explains the following. We have to realize, he says, that Moshe Rabbeinu's life, or his spiritual career, as it were, as a prophet, as a leader, had two halves, two stages. The first was everything that led up until Matan Torah. And the second stage was Matan Torah and everything that came after that. Even before Matan Torah, says the Ksav Sofer, Moshe was a great prophet. Hashem spoke to him at the burning bush. He merited to be the one chosen to be the liberator and savior of the Jewish people. He took the Jewish people out of Egypt, and throughout that entire process, Hashem is talking to him. He's a Navi. He's an instrument of great, great miracles. He's obviously on a great level. But then there is Moshe Rabbeinu after his rendezvous with Hashem, 40 days on the mountain, being the instrument of Matan Torah and Kabbalah Satorah. Then Moshe achieves an even higher, greater level, which is the Moshe Rabbeinu, who we love and revere for all eternity. That's the Moshe at the end of his life, the second stage of his life, from Matan Torah until his death. That's the second stage. That's the ultimate high level that Moshe reached. Before Matan Torah, he was on a different, lower level. Even that level, says Ksav Sofer, the first stage of Moshe, was a great level. So great, in fact, that no other Jewish prophet was ever as great as Moshe was in the first stage. However, says Ksav Sofer, that's what Chazal are referring to. When they say that Bilam was on the level of Moshe, they're talking about Moshe, part one. Moshe in the first stage of his career, before Matan Torah. And that was an incredible level, and it makes sense that those two would be parallel. That's the whole premise of the Midrashim. Just like Moshe was before Matan Torah, Bilam was. And therefore, you can't have an excuse. if Bilam was the same level as Moshe was before Matan Torah, so they had the fair chance, just as good as the Jewish people did. However, Moshe made the right decisions, and the Jewish people followed Moshe for the right reasons, and they made the right decisions, and they became the Am HaNivchar who accepted the Torah. The non-Jewish people who had Bilam, who was just as great as Moshe was before Matan Torah, but Bilam led an evil life, and the non-Jews didn't follow in the right directions, and therefore they have no excuses, because they had their prophet who was on the same level as Moshe was before Matan Torah. Now that we understand the Medrash's comparison of Bilam to Moshe, Moshe on stage one, Moshe in the early stage of his career, the Ksav Sofer adds one critical point, which is really a valuable lesson to all of us. What made Moshe part two? What made Moshe in the second stage of his leadership and religious career? What made him so great, so unique, the Lokum Yisrael Od Navi Kamosha Od, that made Moshe so unique that no one ever was and will be like Moshe in part two? Says the Ksav Sofer, it wasn't because of what Moshe got when he was on Har Sinai, but rather what he gave, as it were. Moshe zocha v'zika harabim, v'schus harabim tluya ba. Moshe was the mezakeh, he was the instrument that benefited, that gave to the Jewish people this unique gift of the Torah. Al yidei kein, and it's through that, the fact that he was the mezakeh harabim, he was the instrument to help benefit and raise up all the other millions of Jews. That's why Al-Kain Allah b'nis'ala kolkach. It wasn't everything that Moshe undoubtedly received on Har Sinai, and no question he did. He experienced things that were singular and unique. But that's not what makes him uniquely great. What made him uniquely great and unprecedented, never before, never duplicated, is that he was the Zmzakeh Harabim in a unique way. Because he's the only one who ever will have the opportunity to be the one who gave the Jewish people the Torah. And by giving us the greatest gift we ever could have received, he achieved a level that no one else could ever. And this is a tremendous lesson to us. If we want to rise to levels to maximize our potential, we have to realize that it all comes from being mezakeh the rabbim. We never may be do the same thing as Moshe did, but there are many ways that we can all help the tzibur, especially in teaching Torah, and that will be the basis of our growth, just like it was of Moshe's.